Radio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some viewers may find offensive. Parental discretion is strongly advised. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio. Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Just in case you've forgotten,
the boss is back!
With your host, Tim Stein.
Hi, welcome to Nazi Canada, eh?
Mace.
Look at that thing. It's like it's made out of Wolverine's bones, you know? Because does nobody read X-Men?
Omega.
Jeez. Oh, come on in. Make some more noise.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Does internet porn know you're cheating on it?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a.
Joe, I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar, Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ. And you're listening to WTR. Sunday night.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That can't you dig that? The game!
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's another pay-per-view slash network event recap show, Elimination Chamber. It feels like we just did this 2 weeks ago. It feels like we're going to do it 2 weeks from now as well. But here we are. That's the craziness of the WWE right now. We've got a lot of opinions, and I'm sure everyone does. And this is going to be an interesting recap. But first, I am the Omega, the be-all and all of the network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
So is this Payback, Elimination Chamber, King of the Ring, or Money in the Bank?
I don't think it's like separate events anymore. I think we're just like running like a month long of just... We're doing everything. Please subscribe to us.
Can we go back to WrestleMania?
Hey,
Can we combine Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, and Survivor Series in the one show and call it SummerSlam?
Hey, your network, your subscription will be totally worth it tomorrow night. Just saying.
Can we have 3 hours of that tomorrow night instead of Raw? Seriously, Austin and Heyman for 3 hours on the WWE Network, forget Raw. I'd sit there and just listen to that all day, all night.
And I believe there won't be anything malfunctioning on that program either, like tonight on...
Oh, bullshit. There'll be at least a 20-second delay on that.
You know, because that was... Anyway, that helped the match. Anyway.
And at the lead, trying to keep this train on its tracks and inevitably failing miserably, it is the one and only Tim Stein.
Dude, I gave up a long time ago.
Yeah, you did.
The conductor is drunk.
Not yet, but I plan to be, especially after tonight.
Oh. Well, it is the only way this show made sense was to be either high or drunk, so...
There were a couple of high points.
And then
literally.
And then you would have actually had been high for a couple other points.
And then you'd have to be high for the rest of them.
That chamber. Ooh. Ooh.
Chamber of Horrors match. Yeah, we'll talk about it in a bit. It's coming up. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's the Elimination Chamber review show. And yeah, Omega was saying it just seems like, it feels like 2 weeks ago we did something like this. It feels like 2 weeks from now we're going to do something else similar for something called Money in the Bank. So,
yeah, well,
this week we're on at 11, last week 10, week before 11, 2 weeks from now we'll be 11 again, and then 10 in between. It's like, you know, it's like being on Destination America. I don't know what time they're putting us on anymore.
Or what day? Or up against whom? Or following anybody?
Thankfully, the WWE Network doesn't have any new neighbors.
Hey, nice post, Mace.
So who are we signing to lead in for us?
Who's what?
Who are we signing to lead in for us?
Who are we going to sign
Let's get Aaron Frost to do a show on his own.
You want that cowboy Aaron Frost doing a show?
He might as well, you know. Might as well do a show.
Next thing you know, Bugger's going to show up in the chat room and start talking trash.
He's already promised to invade, so.
Oh, great. Yeah, you know, there are probably a lot of people tuned in right now who don't know who the hell we're talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, Stampede Wrestling, the original Stampede Wrestling based out of Calgary, Alberta, Canada, is returning. And we've got a bit of a big deal going on, a major, major, huge, gigantic SOB announcement coming up.
Later.
Yeah.
Later in the show. Later.
In not right now. In just a little bit. But right now we're gonna talk about our win and fail for the week, and nobody has a win. The fail is the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. And I think I can speak for everybody. Alright, no, we're not doing that.
No, there was there were two bright spots on this show.
There is some okay shit.
Three if you count Naomi's shoes.
Can we say there was some okay shit?
There was some okay shit on the show.
Naomi's shoes finally matched her outfit.
She can't decide on what she wants to look like, though.
There you go. So who caught the pre-show tonight?
I did.
Nope.
So, Rock, you and I have to talk about this. So they had a pre-show, and there was a lot of talking going on, and Booker T said some stuff alluding to really tough Canadians. That was code.
That was code for a certain Canadian you're no longer allowed to mention.
But he was born in Edmonton and wrestled in Calgary. And if you don't know who the hell we're talking about with those hints by now, you're not that hardcore a wrestling fan now, are you?
Anyway, we all know he was talking about Lance Storm. Anyway, moving on.
Not Lance Storm. So, yeah, they talked about all of New Day will wind up having to fit into one of the Elimination Chamber pods for the Elimination Chamber tag match.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be much more of a sardine situation than it was.
Well, I did notice when they were showing the preview highlights and shit like that, that they did make the pods just the tiniest little bit bigger this time around.
Not that bigger.
Well, they're a little bit bigger. Yeah, they are. I'm looking at the replay right now, looking at the pod right now with New Day in there. Yeah, the pods are like more than twice the size that they were.
It's about a foot each way, so 2 feet.
Yeah, it's like twice the size.
Yeah, now I'm actually looking at it, yeah.
So from 2 feet to 4 feet. Yep. So, you know, that's all good.
It's not like they'll ever get to use it again, so you might as well make it work.
Well, here's the thing. You know, when we finally start talking about the Elimination Chamber tag match, I didn't have a problem with the matchup or anything like that. Really, not too much. There are a couple of really good spots on it. But on the pre-show, we actually had a wrestling match just announced by Renee Young. It was Stardust to take on, you know it, Zack Ryder.
This was basically a plug for Arrow.
That's pretty much all it was, because we know that Arrow was going to come and beat up on Stardust at Summerfest.
At Summerfest, and now apparently Crossroads is now the Queen's Crossbow.
Yeah, Arrow, it's a watchable TV show, but I've got real problems with the stories, with the storylines.
Sounds like wrestling.
Yeah, almost, except that Arrow, actually, tell you the truth, the storylines this past season and the season previous were a lot more enjoyable for a train wreck than Elimination Chamber was. I'm sorry, if I sound negative right out of the hop, I'm not the only one.
Yeah, if you think we sound negative, just wait.
It gets better, or worse, depending on your point of view, right, Omega?
We haven't even gotten into the Divas match yet.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten into the pay-per-view yet.
We haven't even gotten to the pay-per-view yet. Stardust won, by the way.
Yeah, Stardust wins. There are a couple of okay things going on. I mean, we got a nice surfboard by Stardust. Ryder gets worked over. And, of course, good old Zach makes a comeback, but it gets cut off with a missed dropkick.
Yeah, then he did a dropkick off the apron. Broski boot. Yay! So you can do
only got a two count.
Only got a two count, but you can do the Broski boot, but you can't do the curb stomp.
Yeah, and don't get that confused. It's Broski boot, not Bronski beat.
Okay.
By the way,
Rose had 11:17 Eastern on the Tim Stein awful joke poll.
That was not an awful joke. It wasn't a joke.
No, that was
a failed 80s music reference.
It was a hideous joke.
It was before your time, Omega.
That made children cry.
And there were a lot of children watching this show. Anyway.
And they all cried.
By the way, you can join in on the conversation. Come to wildtalkradio.com, click on the live tab. You can join our interactive chat room, or you can tweet us at wildtalkradio as well. We'll read your comments on the air.
Seriously, you have to enunciate better and talk just a tiny little bit slower when you plug wildtalkradio.com/chat.php. Come on into the chat room and chat with us. I'm just saying.
I think people can understand clicking the word live.
Yeah. Oh, hey, they did an interview with Laninex, too.
It was #AskLana.
Yeah, there you go. And I don't know, controversy potentially brewing because she was talking about Snapchatting with Dolph Ziggler. And from everything I could gather on the internet, Snapchat is just a really naughty, nasty thing.
It can be, I suppose. I don't know.
Any internet chat can be a naughty, nasty thing.
A nasty natty thing?
Nasty natty.
Nasty natty? Don't call her that to her face. She might not like it. But she chooses to be free of the Rusev. Because she chooses to be happy. God damn, I'd do a better fake Russian accent than that guy that they had on TV last month.
50-50.
Yeah, it's close. Shut up.
50-50.
And of course we get Ms. TV is... guest tonight, the one and only former Intercontinental Champion and currently injured goddamn guy, yet once again, Daniel Bryan.
By the way, before you even get into anything with Daniel Bryan, he looked tired.
He looked like he hadn't slept in a couple of days, eh?
No, he had bags under his eyes.
Gotta wonder what he's up to now that he's not wrestling in the ring so much no more.
Who the hell knows?
And he is married to Brie Bella, so... They could be up late playing Risk or something.
Possibly.
Yeah, and I'm not going anywhere else with that.
Give up.
I'm not going anywhere else with that because, no, that was just too wide open.
Was a risky situation?
Stop it! That was worse than me! Oh, my God! No, you're not allowed to do that. I've got the monopoly on the shitty jokes. You cut that out.
Well, maybe they were playing Monopoly then. Someone was trying to get poor war.
Yeah, I don't think that's something to brag about anyway.
Honestly, you have you played Monopoly lately? You could be up late enough to get bags under your eyes.
I haven't played Monopoly since I was like 13. And I remember we started playing Monopoly, my sisters and I. It was like 5 o'clock. And the next thing I know, Mommy's yelling. And I'm saying that it's really late, we should go to bed. I looked at the clock, it was like 3 in the morning.
No Monopoly game ends with someone actually winning the game.
Now they use electronic debit cards for Monopoly.
Mace, that was terrible. People, what's he talking about? I'm not telling you.
Destroying your childhood one game at a time.
There you go. So Daniel is saying that his career is not over. I'm thinking it should be, but he wrote a book.
He did write a book.
Wow.
Yeah, it comes out in July.
Yeah, well, The Mist, it talks about how Daniel Bryan looks ridiculous in what he's wearing and how come he's not wearing makeup.
He basically wants to be Daniel Bryan's stylist because, he has this big five-hour energy deal and he should look better. And then you look at Miz and he looked ridiculous himself.
5-hour energy lies, by the way. There is a crash later sometimes.
And Daniel Bryan's deal is...
An energy product lied.
Wow.
I know,
right? Daniel Bryan's 5-hour energy commercial is basically, if you don't watch it, and it airs on Raw, you just hear him chanting yes, it's him making sex noises. Just saying. Moving on. Put that in your mental head for a minute.
You know, speaking about boring.
In your mental head.
Yeah. Your mental head.
Speaking of boring.
As opposed to your non-mental head.
Daniel Bryan calls Miz TV boring, so he brings out Mando and Axel Mania, and they take out the Miz.
Yay!
So, yeah. And we got a couple of more things in the back. I mean, there's an interview with Dean Ambrose. He's calm, he's focused, but he's also got pressure, and it's building up in his gut. First thing that popped in my head was, you should take a Tums, but...
That would only be common sense. That would be common sense.
Yeah, that would only be, relieve the pressure. Just fart and you'll be better.
But in his world, it's punching Seth Rollins in the face. That's how he relieves his hatred and pressure and everything.
And there you go. And, here we go to the main pay-per-view.
No, before you...
what do you want to do? What do you want to point out?
Roman came in, said, did he get to bring the ice or the cold ones? And, he didn't, but Roman got him, and he's going to be in Dean's corner. Because that plays a factor...
Later on.
Just want to throw that out there.
There you go. Okay, yeah. And contrary to what a certain individual has been saying to me all night long, just because they're talking about cold ones with ice does not mean the Attitude Era is coming back. Jesus.
Could be Pepsi.
Part of me is sort of sitting there thinking I'd actually like to see a drinking contest between Reigns and Ambrose going up against the APA.
That might actually be a fun spot one night. Just a backroom thing on Raw.
Just on the when they do like a retro Raw or something, they have them backstage doing a poker game segment or something.
That's exactly where you took me as soon as you brought that up. And I'm picturing JBL as he looks today with the big ass cigar in his mouth, not lit because it is 2015, and you can look but don't smoke, or hold it but don't light it. Anyway. Now we're moving on to the actual pay-per-view itself and what we talked about momentarily ago. The tag team titles on the line in the first Elimination Chamber match. We had New Day versus Cesaro Kid versus The Ascension versus the Primetime Players versus Los Matadores versus Lucha Dragons.
So we had a bull on the top of a pod, Omega.
Bull on a pod.
A bull on a pod.
It was a lot of bull potting.
This is really, unfair when New Day has to cram into one pod, all three of them, but the bull just gets to hang out on top.
Yeah. What else did we have? We also had another little guy on top of a pod, too. But he couldn't get off of it.
Because the New Day kept pulling him into their pod.
They're like, where do you think you're going? No, you stay here. They kept grabbing onto Kalisto's leg.
Why were they rushing for that?
I don't know why they were rushing to that spot. I don't know. They got there quick.
Yeah, because that's what I said.
That's what I thought you said. Or rushing.
No, he gave New Day an accent for that.
I didn't even notice Tim's accent.
I wasn't intentionally doing fake Russian accent for New Day. I was actually stifling a yawn.
I noticed it was Tim's straight voice. I didn't think it was an accent.
Anyway. Yeah, no, I was stifling a yawn, but now I'm not going to stifle it. So there you go. I'll talk through the yawn, and people are going to what the fuck did he just say?
This is as much of a train wreck as the pay-per-view was.
There were some good spots, the tag, this, I can put up with another Elimination Chamber tag title matchup in about 8 months to a year, but not until then.
And maybe with
someone needed to tell Kalisto though that you can't escape the chamber by going out the top. This is not TNA.
That was fun watching, and was like, what are you doing? And then why are you putting your feet through the chains upside down? That's not going to work, dude.
Come
Don't
on,
do
I saw
that.
Homicide do this. It'll be great.
Oh wait, shit! There's no hole. I'll just swing and let go and drop onto everybody in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, that was interesting. I think he hit everyone. I think
he grazed most of them.
He grazed most of them, so the fall for him probably didn't feel so good.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's Kalisto, so everybody standing in the middle of the ring didn't feel that much.
Talking about him.
Well, yeah, he would have gotten hurt.
Yeah,
I'm not disagreeing with that. But it was a long time to set up that you're watching him climbing, and what are you having a problem? Getting up there.
Yeah. Though, the one nice spot before that whole spot was Cesaro leaping up onto the top rope and hitting him with an uppercut. That was pretty sweet.
you know, there were, like I said, there were a couple of really good ones. What did you guys think about that, the triple overhead suplex, you know, the six-man suplex on the ring, in the middle?
Different. Oh, it was 4-on-3, so it's a 7-man.
Oh, was it 4-on-3? I thought it was 3-on-3.
Yeah, it was two teams again, suplexing New Day.
PTP and Cesaro and Kid.
Well, goddamn that Big E so wide you missed the fourth guy right in the middle. I think that's what happened.
Yeah. So. Anyway, Matadors were out first, Lucha Dragons then were eliminated again by the Ascension. So two eliminations by the Ascension and everyone went, what? They were eliminating people? What?
Like even the commentary said, this is the best the Ascension's ever looked.
Oh, Flashback Sunday. Watch this, JR.
Oh, my God.
What?
Someone get Kingy's meds.
Jesus, Jerry, you've got distracted Tim syndrome there, boy.
Hey, who knew they hired Mike Adamly back?
It was fun how the rest of the announce table played on that against Jerry and just, like, ribbed him about it. Nothing too heavy, but it was, you know, it was kind of cute.
He was off his game tonight.
Yeah. Let's face it. Pretty much almost everything was off its game tonight. Not to, you know, not to give out spoilers or anything.
No, not to do that, but yeah.
But. So, yeah. Anyway, just looking at everything, it was probably the best Elimination Chamber match of the night. Seeing as there were only two of them.
Is that really high praise?
That's not high praise, especially
not really.
Considering the second one, yeah, this would be the default, I guess.
As chamber matches go, this one wasn't even that good.
No.
Like, for as many people as were in there, for as many high flyers in this match, this should have been a lot more exciting than it was.
You know what? You've got an absolute point there. It was watchable, but it wasn't anything... it didn't live up to expectations, I guess is the best way to
put
it.
You had Kofi Kingston.
Yeah.
How good has he been in chamber matches before?
Damn good.
Yeah.
You look at Cesaro and Kid, when they were in a match, the match had some semblance of order and structure.
Because it's Cesaro and Kid.
When they weren't involved, it got messy.
Yeah.
And that was scary. You would think by eliminating teams in the match, it would have gotten better. But I think once you got rid of Cesaro and Kid...
Well, yeah, I was about to make the point that you got rid of the two people carrying the match.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having them wind up being the last opponents for the New Day.
It really took the crowd out of it, too, because they were really behind Cesaro and Kid. And then when they realized, now we have to root for the primetime players. Shit.
Yeah. Well, you know, at this point in time, I didn't have a problem rooting for the primetime players. They've been on a bit of a roll lately.
Wait, Tim, how have they been on a roll? Explain that one.
Because they actually won a match. So it's the primetime players. So when the primetime players win one match, they're on a roll.
When did they win?
It was like a week and a half ago. Where were you?
When did they win this match? I'm confused.
I told you. Did you not hear me?
Was it on SmackDown?
You don't watch SmackDown. What do you know?
I watch SmackDown every week. I'm asking you, did they actually win a match?
They won one match.
Because I don't remember them ever.
They won a match at some point.
Yeah. At some point in time, they won a match, so they're on a roll. Because it's primetime players, and them winning a match at some point in time in the world puts them on a roll. Yeah, no.
Primetime players have been cutting absolutely great promos for the last couple of months. That's what they need. And that's why they are deserving.
Not to mention their
performance in the chamber tonight as well really made you sit back and go, if these guys don't leave with the belts tonight, they are due a tag title run very soon.
Thank you very much for backing me up, Mace.
But I'm just
I feel dirty.
Yeah. When I said they were on a roll, I don't mean like winning matches and shit like that. But
they've
been very entertaining, cutting their promos and stuff like that. And and just watching them up against New Day as the come on, just watching that part of the pay per view on the replay right now. They didn't do a sloppy bad job.
So cutting great promos leads to title shot now? Okay.
Cutting great promos.
In the tag division, it's close enough.
Cutting great promos leads to fan support, leads to booking saying these guys are getting positive reaction. Let's let them win a couple of matches after the chamber so they don't have the titles. So that's what will happen.
Hey, at least they're not going to be like the Ascension, who got their most pinfall quote-unquote wins that they've had in their entire main roster career.
All in one match. I kind of feel sorry for one of the members of the Ascension, but that's for a different reason. Only because I know the guy. Saddled with a shitty gimmick.
Anyway, moving on from that.
New Day retains. That wasn't a huge surprise to anybody, I think.
Trouble in Paradise. Dogpile onto the dude. Yay!
Look at that. The cowboy Aaron Frost is in the chat room. Yes. Apocalypse, and you spell it wrong. Get a dictionary, you dumbass. Anyway. hey, we got another sit-down with Lana.
Stand up, maybe more like it.
Well, another little chat with Lana.
More talking with Lana.
Who cares? We're all trying to look at her ass anyway.
She looks really short next to Ziggler.
She is really short. Next
I know,
to
but like usually the way they film it, she's closer to him in height. This one, not so much.
Because she was, like, standing close to him this time.
Should they do like they do with, like, what, Todd Phillips and actually have him, like, stand split leg?
Yes.
If you've never seen that picture of him, like, trying to look short during interviews, it's hysterical.
What the hell's a skibby? Is that some kind of a boat? Jesus. Anyway, up next, kids, was the Divas title match.
Can we have more Divas title matches like this, please? Please, please.
Oh, hell no. Triple threat. Nikki Bella versus Naomi versus Paige. And right from the get-go, we were talking in the chat room how this match just felt really off, and we were trying to figure out why, and then somebody said, well, it's Naomi. She's not doing well. It's not that she was wrestling poorly. Her timing was a little off, and she just did not look like she worked well with those other two. Any kind of momentum, the other two being Paige and Nikki. Anytime Paige and Nikki got that set up, she just kind
of... So for those of you who have actually missed this match, you get to see most of it on Botchamania.
Probably.
Most likely.
It's not so much, like, Naomi's gotten better. Like, she's had okay matches with both these girls.
But she doesn't mix well when there's two in the ring at the same time.
I think she had a lot of trouble keeping track of two opponents at the same time.
And this is not the first time this has happened with her. Multiple person matches are not her thing. And I think she overthinks a little bit because she's just, her momentum is off throughout the entire match.
It reminds me of watching somebody wrestle who hasn't got their game plan mapped out in advance. Mason will know exactly what I'm talking about. And they're actually thinking about what they're going to do before they do it, as opposed to having it come, like, naturally, like without a second thought.
Like it comes to Paige. Hers is just a natural instinct.
Well, that's how a lot of those divas, you know, like before NXT were being trained, though. It's just go from spot to spot to spot, and it wasn't like an actual match. It was like, oh, now I have to go stand here and stand this direction in order to do this spot next.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I've got to remember this, I've got to remember that. And is that because she's green, or she just didn't get enough work with the other two? I think it's both.
I think part of it, she's changing who she is now. She's gone from the energetic babyface to trying to slow down as a heel, and I think that's playing a part in it, too. I had
this feeling through the entire thing, as Tim's already said, that like she must have been late to the arena or something, and the other two were going through, okay, we're going to do this spot, we'll do a quick practice, da da da, and Naomi's just rocked up late and gone, oh fuck, sorry guys, what can we throw together, let me know what I need to do and we'll just do it. She was not in the right position. She was doing moves way too quickly. It was just it just felt like she wasn't really a part of that match when it came down to how it was created.
Like having the rookie jitters, basically. But at this point in time, Naomi should not have the rookie jitters.
And what,
oh, God, no.
And what's really surprising that you would have figured they would have worked this match out last night somewhere. Because they were wrestling. There was a house show last night. You would have figured they would have tried to put this match somewhere to work it out.
But they
sort of did, but Nikki wasn't involved. So that makes sense. All right, then.
Not to pull the curtain back too much, but when you get to the arena early and you see the newbies as opposed to the veterans with their preparation on their matches for that night, you can tell who the newbies are and who the veterans are. The newbies are all talking about it and going through it with the hand motions, and they're doing this, and it almost looks like some kind of weird-looking Tai Chi-type deal where the veterans are all sitting around at the table talking to each other.
And to back up Mesa's point about probably arriving to the arena late, they were in North Carolina last night, and they had to fly. She had to fly to Texas, so half of them flew to Texas probably late last night.
I think the important thing to keep in mind for this entire pay-per-view is that they didn't even know they were having this, air quote, pay-per-view.
Yeah.
This was a house show that they turned into a pay-per-view.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
More or less. You know, it's just a way to put an extra couple of bucks into the, into WWE's pocket, really, by doing, it's a network exclusive, you know, rent to, or buy it for only $9.99, blah, blah, blah. So, it's still May. It's May 31st. So it was free tonight for people.
Yeah, that was what it was. Like, hey, we're running this show on the 31st. It's free month, so we're trying to push new subscribers. And hey, it happens to be like the last arena in North America that can actually handle the chamber.
So, yeah.
Either way.
All well and good.
Either way, Rack Attack on Nikki. or yep. Naomi.
Not Naomi.
Naomi and Nikki Bella retained.
Yeah. And I don't know why they did the Rack Attack on Naomi as opposed to Paige, but they set it up so Paige had to get rolled out of the ring. So she wasn't involved in the finish of the match. I would have much preferred Nikki Paige finish to set up the Nikki Paige match at Money in the Bank that you know is going to
be. Well, they still can.
Well, that,
though.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
by having her not in the decision, it means that Nikki can't turn around and go, hey, Paige, well, you were in that three-way last month, so you can't get a shot this time around. This gives Paige the opening to say, hey, I haven't had my one-on-one, nor was I pinned last month.
Yeah, it's not like that's something they did with Dean Ambrose, but, you know. I'm just, you know, thinking booking-wise, I would have taken it a slightly different route is just what I'm saying. You know, that's just a personal thing. I'm not giving shit or shooting on anybody, and your idea is valid and it works, too. It's just... I was just taking it in a slightly different way, different direction. That's all. No big deal. No big lift.
A different direction would be bringing in half of the NXT roster to show them how women's wrestling is actually done.
Yeah.
But then again, it is the main roster. So even if they brought all those girls over, they wouldn't give them enough time to actually put on a decent match.
But, yeah, unfortunately.
By the way, you all haven't gone to WWE.com. Please go to WWE.com. Read the interview they did with Bayley, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, and Charlotte. Awesome interview.
Good interview?
Really, really good stuff. Talking about, you know, they call it women's wrestling down there. It's a really good interview. Check it out. Oh,
there you go. Speak of the devil. Look at this. The Divas match is just coming up on the replay. So I think that means it's time to talk about half of the NXT roster, or at least half of the upcoming match was from NXT. That's right. Champion versus champion. John Cena squaring off against... Fight, Kevin, fight.
That was something I took, something I actually took notice of. A ton of this event was covered by former, or in this case, current NXT talent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've all moved up, and it's kind of cool to see. Like, the pay-per-view didn't need, like, the old standards.
There was no Randy Orton. There was no Big Show.
No Orton. No Big Show.
Yep.
You know, very little Triple H.
Very little Triple H. Kane's just stood in a corner.
Yeah, not even Reigns. Like, he's just the last minute save.
Yeah, pretty much. You're saying. I mean, it's good to see that. And the ones, you know, like who came up from NXT that's still in NXT besides Kevin Owens? that was just Kevin Owens, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you look at the recent graduates from NXT.
Technically, Emma. Emma's still in NXT. She went down again.
Yeah, no, we're talking about who was on the show tonight. I don't recall seeing Emma
tonight. Oh, well, yeah, of course. I don't know, I'm only half listening to what you're saying, Tim.
yeah, it figures. No, but literally, for tonight, you look at the recent graduates of NXT who are up here. We got Paige. Don't call him a graduate because even though he's going to be on the main roster, he's going to be, like Omega said in chat, he's going to be slowly phased out of NXT and brought onto Raw and SmackDown. You know, Kevin Owens. And, well, you know what? They represented what the future is going to hold very well. I mean, literally, you had all three members of the Shield. They haven't been up all that long, really, from NXT. Overall, in the big picture. Sure, yeah, okay, they've been here for a couple of years, but you get what I'm saying.
They're slowly transferring the roster over.
Yeah, and they've got some really, really good talent on their way up eventually this year. Having Mason, Omega, and even Rock, air quotes, rave about NXT, either when we're doing our webcast or just in chat with everybody behind the scenes. That tells me a lot, because Mason doesn't pay attention to a fuck of a lot more than Raw, really. And, well, Omega, I have to put you in that same boat, normally.
Yeah.
But I think we're all enjoying NXT. I mean, what was their show, TakeOver?
I like how we're all enjoying NXT and you watch TakeOver.
No, well, hang on a second. Let me finish before you interrupt, jackhole.
Keep going.
Anyway, we're all watching TakeOver, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, shit, I gotta start watching NXT. These guys are right. Thanks for not interrupting and blowing out what I was trying to say, jackhole.
If you like NXT, listen to Direct Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Alrighty then. Speaking about Kevin Owens, it's time for John Cena versus Kevin Owens match. And it's very rare that a John Cena match, or at least it used to be really rare, that a John Cena match would get even half of us cheering one way or the other, as opposed to, oh, it's another John Cena match, bugger.
Since he's lowered himself down the card, his matches have been a lot better.
It's not so much a fact of lowering himself down the card. It's, I think, everybody is realizing that he's putting the new talent over, and he's being the quintessential veteran.
Yeah, to a degree. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but, like, it's weird. I'm actually looking forward to the U.S. title open situations on Raw now, and, you know, I enjoyed Cena's feud with Rusev, and I'm probably going to enjoy Cena versus Owens. But, yeah, I can't exactly say why. I don't think it is the fact that he's putting over younger talent and all that shit. I think it's just he's doing something besides dominating the world title division and being the focus of everything. He has his one little focus moment during Raw, and that's it. The oversaturation is gone.
Yeah, it's not as much as it's felt like it has been in recent years. And it's to the point where we can all stomach it.
It's giving him just enough chance to do what John Cena is actually good at doing. Like, go out there, spin your rhetoric and promo like you usually do, and have a solid match. And since it's not a world title, you know, there's no pressure. Just go out there and make it entertaining. Just don't do that stupid springboard stunner anymore.
You don't like that move?
It feels forced. I don't see that. Whenever that move's set up, it always feels like you're trying too hard to get into position for it.
It almost feels like as soon as he jumps onto the ropes, he's waiting for his opponent to step into place. It doesn't feel organic.
Something like that.
Yeah. I can't disagree with you on that. I mean, like, when he does land it and it works, it's, you know, it pops, but it doesn't pop.
It looks like he's botching something.
Yeah.
Like, every time I've seen him try, every time he's done it, he'll bounce off the ropes and he'll fall straight on his ass. It looks like he was trying to jump off the ropes and failed miserably.
Yeah.
Like a springboard back elbow that went horribly wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good way of describing it. So.
It really is what it looks like. It looks like he jumped too far into his opponent.
So. Yeah, well, yeah. Aside from that, damn, this was a good match.
It was a great match, and a very unpredictable match if you muted it.
If you muted it, then it was very entertaining.
Oh, it's entertaining regardless, but it's far, far more predictable when you can hear Cena.
There you go. I just have a programming note here, everybody, a streaming note. If you're having problems with our live player, it's a brand new one that the webmaster decided we should try at the very least, just because of pre-roll and post-roll advertising on the old one.
It's now back up, by the way.
It's now back up, but if you're having problems with that, try the Shoutcast player. That's embedded on the webpage. Top right side, you'll see a red sideways triangle. Click it.
Yeah.
But anyway,
back to this match.
Back to the match at hand, yeah. It's a battle player.
To be honest, this was done up as a big fight thing. You know, this is like UFC taking a lightweight champ and a heavyweight champ, putting them in the octagon together or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, big champion versus champion match. And that's exactly what we were given. You know, both men gave no quarter, counters aplenty, copied moves aplenty. You know, Owen's hitting the AA on Cena, and I thought for a second there he almost got the fucking three count.
It was damn close.
But as we all know, Cena counts out, kicks out at 2, lol. But, yeah, this was like, this was a great, what would have been an exhibition match. And I'm looking forward to the rest of this series because we know this is going to keep going. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Owen's pulling out shit that I'm like, holy crap.
That guy that big shouldn't be able to move like that.
Yeah, the jumping up onto the under the corner, spinning himself around and just flinging a moonsault like it was nothing.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I never
fat ass, fly!
You're just jealous he's bigger than you and is more agile.
No shit! I wish I could do fucking even 10% of the shit that Kevin Owens can do.
God, I never followed him on the indies. I had no idea he was capable of something like that.
Oh, well, I knew he was capable of something like that, and there's a story behind that. Rock knows. He's seen the picture, so. Yeah, in case, for those of you who don't know, Kevin Owens, real name Kevin Steen, really big in Ring of Honor. And on the indie scene. So.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
But that, it was weird. Like, he was pulling out other shit, like, set up for a fall away and just spins Cena around him onto his back and then hits him with most people call it the Celtic Cross, but, you know, whatever you want to call it. That little driver thing was just nuts.
There was one spot where I swear he was going for his cradle pile driver. Because the setup...
He pulled him... It looked like he was going for the cradle pile driver, but he did a package powerbomb instead.
It wasn't even a power bomb. It was like a side slam thing. It was almost like Cena's old proto bomb. It was a weird looking move, but it had the same setup as the package pile driver.
It was the WWE version of the package power bomb.
That's what I said. It's like they want a move that has the same setup because it's a unique looking setup, but they don't want a pile driver.
Yeah. So welcome to the WWE, Kevin Owens.
Yeah, there you go. But, this match left me wanting more. It did.
Well, of course, you know, he even got Cena to pull out yet another move that he doesn't do all that often, Tornado DDT off the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, at most points we're sitting there going, oh, shit, Cena's going to win, Cena's not going to win, Cena's going to win, Cena's not going to win. Owens, don't you dare tap out.
Right. For the first 7 minutes of this match, when he couldn't get him up for the AA, I was like, okay, they're building up to him getting the AA to win. He's building him up to the AA to win, and well, thankfully that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, for me, it was like watching Owens having a majority of the offense. I was waiting for Cena to just suddenly pop up, hit the AA, slap on the little STF thing, and Owens tapping out like a bitch.
Yeah.
That's what I was expecting. But
Cena match finish number two.
Yeah. But we didn't... We got the shades of that, but it was like, okay, he got out of it. Holy shit.
Triple H.
Yeah, no, look, pop-up powerbomb.
Triple H is protecting his boy. That's the best way
to
put it.
Well, he's protecting
this one.
His entire...
I don't mind him protecting.
He's protecting his entire investment because that's the NXT champion.
Right. You would make his whole brand look weak if he tapped out clean in the center.
Yeah.
If Owens had tapped out, I would have been fucking going crazy tonight.
Oh, there would have. Someone wouldn't have left that arena alive.
Well, watching this thing and realizing it's not for the title. They can't let Cena beat Owens.
Well, not even.
You gotta remember it's Cena, though.
It's Cena. Like, the announcers kept saying it. 15-time world heavyweight champion. And that does mean something.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the NXT rookie.
Yeah, well, slow your roll. He's actually been wrestling longer than John Cena, and he did even point that out on Raw last week.
That doesn't count because it's not WWE.
Well, apparently it counts enough they let him say it.
Yes, but what has he done for me lately?
There you go.
He beat John Cena.
He did that for me lately. He beat him clean.
Yeah, but each guys were not surrendering in this one until the second pop-up powerbomb from Kevin Owens.
Yep, he gets the 1-2-3, and they instantly cut to the crowd. It was like watching Brock beat The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Combined with Angry Miz Girl.
Well, yeah, there was one girl, like, decked head to toe in full, like, light blue Cena garb, just shocked. You could tell that's, like, one of those parts where the director is just watching the crowd cams going, that one. Cut to that one. Cut to the moment we crush her dreams.
So immediately after this match, with Kevin Owens winning, it was announced that there's going to be a rematch at Money in the Bank in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but what actually happened after the match? He gave John Cena his own veteran advice. It's time for Cena to go. The time is up. The champ
go away.
Is here.
Your time is up. The champ is here.
Yeah.
Stealing moves. Stealing speeches.
And then technically stealing John Cena colors at one point, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that t-shirt tonight was stealing John Cena colors.
Yeah, it's also in red, white, and blue for, like, the U.S. title. Mm-hmm. Though it reminded me more of the G.I. Joe logo than anything.
But anyway, really good match.
And of course, what do we do after this? We cut to the pre-show crew who blab on for 30 seconds, and then we hear Bo Dallas's music.
But that's not what we're doing. We're going to break.
We are. We are taking our first, last, and only time out of the evening here, everybody. You're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We teased it at the top, and on the other side of the commercial break, we are going to drop the bomb. We're going to let you know what the major announcement is concerning the original Stampede Wrestling returning. Those of you in the Calgary area are going to be interested in hell to hear this. So don't go anywhere. That's next on the agenda. And then we will finish talking about the pay-per-view after that, everybody.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles. Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig.
I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. 8 fucking lanes. 8 motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of the stream dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking.
Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 in my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck? Are you serious? You're not open. Hell yeah. Oh my god. All right. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
No, no, no.
Steve, man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to get wild by fucking 3 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
I'm Santino Morella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion. Of all the time.
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Did you all get your frosty cold ones? Did you?
Yeah.
There. I was waiting to hear that. Thank you very much
along. That one was loud.
It was.
It's what I. Yeah, that's what happens when I hold it up to the microphone. The microphone, which is set at a sensitivity, lets me sit back away from it.
There we go. All right. So we teased that at the start of the show. We promised right before break that there's an announcement that I have been authorized to make by the board of directors for the original Stampede Wrestling. And I just got to make sure everybody's listening because this is huge. This is big. Get ready to tweet it out to the entire world. Post it on your Facebook and the whole bit. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready. Apparently, I'm the only one. Anyway.
Waiting.
Everybody's ready. Everybody's waiting. Everybody's, I'm just all like the 20,000 people texting me saying, what's the announcement? Well, I'm about to tell you the announcement. Stampede Wrestling returns in June. We're coming in June.
But, okay. What else?
Yeah. Well, Stampede Wrestling is putting on a free show in June.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, it's actually a charity event. It's a food truck drive at the Crossroads Flea Market.
Interesting.
Yeah, located here in Calgary, just off Blackfoot Trail. And that's in the southeast part of town. Very, very accessible, in June. The actual, date will be announced soon once everything is finalized and set up, but it's a free show. And believe it or not, we are actually expecting anywhere from, oh my God, you're not going to believe this number. Anywhere from 10 to 17,000 people in attendance.
See, I thought it was a typo when you sent that to me the other day.
Yeah, I know. You thought it was 1,000 to 1,700.
Yeah, that's
10,000.
I thought he did a typo. I was like, okay.
Not a typo. We're expecting anywhere from 10,000 to 17,000 people. It's a charity event all day long. Like I say, it's a food truck drive. Now, you know, I said it was a free show. It's not a free show. There is admission. This is where you ask me what the admission is.
Tim, what is the admission?
A non-perishable food item donation or a cash donation. That's all. I mean, buy a can of beans and get to see the return of Stampede Wrestling.
I don't think there's any better deal you can possibly get.
You're supporting a very, very worthwhile cause, especially now that the province of Alberta here in Canada is going through a recession. So, yeah, you know, it could cost you as little as $2, right? Just to buy something that can be passed along to people less fortunate. And I think it's a fantastic, fantastic thing, fantastic cause. I am going to be looking for sponsorships, of course, because it's a free show. I've got a few people that I'm going to be talking to in the next couple of days who are interested in hearing the details.
Right. So you mentioned people are going to be working there at food trucks, right? The whole deal?
Yeah, well, it's called the food truck drive, and it's, you know, basically it's like a food bank thing.
Okay. I was going to say, if there's people working at a food truck, is Aaron Frost going to be working at the food truck, or is he actually going to be working in the ring?
Oh, okay. I see where you're going with that. Aaron Frost. You know, I don't know. The guy's been giving me grief, and we've read his crap in the chat room, and we've heard him when he's called in. I don't know. Going to have to decide whether or not I'm going to put him in a match. One way or the other, he's not getting paid for it.
Might just have him just collect the canned goods, not actually work the match.
Yeah.
Put him to work, just not in the ring.
There you go. That'll work.
Just trying to get, you know, Rise out of him in the chat room. Anyway.
So, there you go. Yeah, I know there are a lot of people worldwide listening who aren't going to make it, like Diddy and is in Japan, and then we've got all those people in the United Kingdom. But we've got a lot of local listeners, people in Alberta who actually tune in either to the live webcast, which is, you know, people are tuned in right now, or they listen to the archives, which is great. But that announcement is, you know, it's primarily for people who will be in town on that day that it...
But in all seriousness, that's a great deal. Just buy a non-perishable canned item, bring it to the event, get to see some free wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a better deal than the WWE Network.
It's not going to be one match or two matches. You know, we might only give you four matches, but I'll tell you, it's going to be indie wrestling at its best. It's going to feel like an absolute full show. I already know the details. I know what we're going to do because, well, you know, I'm on the committee and I am the commissioner and the CEO. So, yeah.
They want to, can you mail in a canned good for future emission?
I don't think it'll work that way.
Unless if you
mail in a canned goods immediately and then show up the day of the event, then maybe we could work something out that way.
Or if you said you'd like $20 worth of canned goods, that would be close to the price of a real ticket for a future show. That's fine. Could work.
Yeah. What should we do with Aaron Frost?
Who knows? I guess it depends on the week.
Yeah, it just depends on the prevailing mood at the time, I guess, as far as what we do with Aaron Frost. I've got a funny feeling that all of a sudden Mr. Aaron Frost is going to be a real nice guy because he's going to want to be wrestling in this event. So.
We'll have to see. But anyway, good announcement. Stay tuned for updates. Go at Stampede Russell on the Twitter.
Yeah, at Stampede Russell on the Twitter machines, or my main Twitter account, because I'm posting stuff on both. And that's, of course, at Flames Forums.
Or go to...
That's stressing the S.
Go to facebook.com/originalstampedewrestling for more details.
Can you say that one more time?
facebook.com/originalstampedewrestling.
Thank you for actually enunciating it and saying it slowly and clearly this time.
Whatever.
There we go. Yeah, and while you're at it...
So, back at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, really quickly, before we hit the pay-per-view, while you're at it, go to facebook.com/originalstampedewrestling and vote for your favorite version of the brand-new logo that's up there, created by our very own Sir Rockin. There. Back to the pay-per-view.
Back to it.
Hey, check it out. Bo Dallas is back.
Yay.
Guess who he's facing?
No one cared.
Bo Dallas showed up and nobody cared. However, his opponent was Neville.
No. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. Bo Dallas versus Neville. No one cared.
I cared.
This was the match that got hidden in the shadows of the previous match. The crowd was dead.
There's no way to follow it. There's no way to follow it.
So that's why they threw it out there. So, what the hell? There you go. So, I hate to admit this, but I didn't really catch 99% of this match. So I can't really talk about it.
I was looking over the reactions from the previous match.
There you go.
The matchup was a pretty solid match between the two. They haven't had a bad match down in NXT or even up on the main roster. They had a pretty solid match considering the position on the show. Neville got the win, which we all kind of figured was happening. But it was a good match. It was a nice showcase for Bo, a nice showcase for Neville. It got them on the show. They're doing different things with Bo Dallas. Neville did an interview, talked about how Bo Dallas is very underrated, and he is. And yeah, Neville picked up the win. It was a solid match. Neville moves on to the Money in the Bank match in 2 weeks.
I'm seriously waiting for the day Bo Dallas and the New Day combine their positivity together.
Oh my God.
Under the tutelage of DDP.
I think some shit would seriously blow up if that happened.
It just makes me laugh because it's the same damn gimmick. He's just a bit more of an asshole.
A bigger asshole. There you go. Alrighty then. Backroom stuff. Triple H telling Roman Reigns he doesn't have the authority to put himself up there during the main event, and says Roman would be a disruption, and if he goes out there, then Dean loses.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And that's pretty much all she wrote. Back in the ring, it's the Intercontinental Title Chamber, Elimination Chamber match next.
Brace yourselves.
Remember when we were talking earlier? I think the nicest thing that we could say about this was, holy clusterfuck, Batman.
I don't. That's not even nice.
What I said or the description?
Both.
Why was what I said not nice?
Because this match sucked.
That's what I said. Holy clusterfuck, Batman.
This was awful.
It was worse than awful. It was bad. Sheamus's pod legitimately not being able to get opened up.
Wait, before that. Go ahead, Omega. I'm not sure now.
No. The way they did the spot, the announcers were terrible about explaining what happened. Mm-hmm. But the way Sheamus was reacting, it was very clear that he stuck his own pod together with the bolt inside the pod. Because the longer he stays in the pod, the less he has to actually wrestle.
Yeah.
It was a good heel tactic. The announcers didn't explain a bit of it. So it came off like shit.
No. Why it came off bad?
Because it wasn't expected and it was a legitimate fuck up.
No. The other guys just stood there trying to figure things out. They stood there forever. Like, whose idea was to put Mark Henry in this match?
Somebody at the last minute after Ryback hurt his ankle on SmackDown. Never mind, the taping was Tuesday last.
You mean Rusev?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Pay attention to what
the other big lummox.
Yeah, the other big lummox.
Like, there was a spot in this match where Mark Henry just stood there waiting to do his next move. Waiting! Like, we're about 1 minute waiting.
This is why I'm saying this was a legitimate screw-up, because these guys, all of a sudden, didn't know what the hell to do.
No, this
because
was,
obviously there were spots that Sheamus was supposed to be in.
This was like watching one of those sort of like Americanized martial arts movies where they only attack one at a time.
But
they just stand around on the outside waiting for their turn to be beaten up.
But Tim, this was before Sheamus got stuck in the spot. This was early.
They were moving rather lumberingly slowly beforehand.
This was just, oh my God, there's this, yeah, I'm just going to stand here. Oh, you're going about to do your move? Okay, just do it already. I'm just standing here. Now I'll break it up as I slowly move towards you.
At one point, Mark Henry broke up a pin in this match.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Storytelling like you've never seen it before, only on WWE programming.
This was awful. This match was awful.
It was just, it was a real shitbag match. That's all it was.
And then R-Truth eliminates King Barrett.
What?
R-Truth, who was manhandled by Rusev on Raw in less than a minute, beats the King of the Ring.
But it's...
You gotta remember, though, it is Barrett.
Yeah. It's Barrett. He's like the most talented jobber of all time.
It's R-Truth. He shouldn't be beating anyone.
It's Barrett.
Did you see him when he had the Intercontinental belt?
Yes.
The guy couldn't buy a win.
I know. R-Truth kept stealing his belt, too.
See? It goes to show. Barrett's ultimate nemesis is R-Truth.
And R-Truth's ultimate nemesis is spiders. Oh, my God.
And heights.
Can we have spiders on Rodimore? Can we have more spiders on Rodimore?
Can we have spiders in this match? Oh, my God.
Can we have Spider-Man in this match? Is he eliminated?
Only if we can bring Randy Savage back.
One at a time.
We had Spider-Man in the first Elimination Chamber.
God, it made
me... How many Spider-Men are in the Marvel Universe? Give me a new one.
At this point, we're sitting at about 8 or 9.
How the hell do you have so many Spider-Men? Spider-Man.
Because stupid people keep creating alternate universes and alternate versions. In the last couple of months, we've had 2 new additions, both female.
Jesus. Keep CM Punk away from Marvel.
He wrote his one book. He's now over at DC. Thank fuck.
Yay.
So, yeah, we had Sheamus in this, too.
Yeah.
Being an idiot.
It's just like, I'm having a hard time even trying to talk about this match because it was that bad.
Then how about we don't? Ryback won the belt. Nobody gave a shit. Let's move on.
Hold on.
There you go. He got a huge crowd pop from the kids.
Yay. Now, before we move on, like, they did this spot where they got Henry out of the pod early. I thought, oh, hey, they're going to cut 4 minutes off this match.
But he stood there and did nothing.
And then they just dragged on forever. Like, oh my God. And everyone's like, Sheamus win. And then Ryback won? What?
Like, who would have called that one?
You know what got me more annoyed than anything? After this entire thing with Sheamus, and it turns out that his pendant just dropped into the wrong spot, mm-hmm. and that caused all the bullshit. We had Lindsay sitting in our chat room going, just kick the fucking panel out.
Yeah. Yep.
What's the first thing Sheamus does when he gets out, finally? Throws Ziggler into the fucking panel. Breaks
what
it.
Happens?
It's a heel spot. Like, he waited, like, he didn't come into the match until everyone else was down. And then he just kind of walked in like he knew what he was doing. He didn't want to get into the match.
Because
the longer he's in the match, the more risk he runs of losing it.
Right. But I think at that point, it's like, this match is awful. Get out and do something already.
Yeah.
That was the
Please,
point of
you
it.
Have talent. Come and use it. Save something. Anything.
And then they got rid of the guys with talent, Barrett and Ziggler. It's like, oh, we're
leave us with Ryback.
Who could barely lift up Sheamus.
I will admit, like, as much as it frightens me, there's parts of the Ryback to entertain me, but God, I don't want him as a champion.
Two weeks ago, he lost cleanly to Bray, semi-cleanly to Bray Wyatt. Now he's your Intercontinental Champion.
Well, it's WWE booking. No one's allowed to be over. No one's allowed to look better than anyone else. Everyone has to stay even. They win as much as they lose.
And please, for the love of God, because he's cutting his promo now, please, in 2 weeks, have Kevin Owens go over again. Anyway.
Please.
Please. Please.
So we finally get to the main event.
Before we get to the main event, it was announced that at Money in the Bank, it will be Kevin Owens, John Cena 2, and Neville, Ziggler, Roman, Orton, Sheamus, and Kofi, so far, are in Money in the Bank. So...
Yeah, Roman Reigns wins, lol, let's keep going.
Why is Kofi in this match?
Why is Ziggler in the match? Like, two people, like, the two guys lost. Like, two guys in this match lost tonight. And they get rewarded with a possible World Heavyweight Championship match.
At least Kofi won, I guess.
They put Kofi in it because they're going to put a big tall thing for him to climb on.
But that's why you have Neville. We've seen all of Kofi's spots.
You say that.
Kofi and Ziggler are in there just to take the bumps. That's what they're in there for. That's all they're going to need to do.
I assume
take the big spots. That's all they need.
I assume it's going to be 8 men.
Yeah, because they said 6 was just the start.
Mm-hmm. Please don't be any more than 8.
6 was
Roman
just
Reigns
forgetting.
Wins, lol.
Honestly, after tonight, I'm not even sure.
No, part of me goes, hey, give it to Neville. Why not? Or, oh God, they're giving it to Sheamus. Oh God, that's why he didn't win the belt. Anyway, moving on. Main event. This was
Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose.
Good match.
I enjoyed it. It wasn't any, like, super caliber match. It was entertaining. It was solid. These guys, you can tell that they've worked together for a long time. And they sold it like they knew each other's moves and movesets.
It's almost like that they've worked together for a couple of years in different companies.
It's kind of sort of like what I was alluding to. So, no massive major spots other than really Ambrose jumping off the corner post onto the Authority, really.
No, yeah, and they did a couple dives. One dive, they fell over the announce table. It's like, hey, incoming wrestler Michael Cole, move. It was back and forth for a lot of the match. Good stuff all around. There wasn't really anything to complain about in this match.
Exactly. No complaints.
It was entertaining.
Except for J&J security and Kane being at ringside, but... You know, they got dived on by Ambrose, so,
Kane just stood there for most of the match. One side of the ring to the other. I'm just going to stand here politely.
Kane's getting old. He knows his bumps are limited.
Yeah, and he gets to work main event spots just standing there lately. Pretty good role for him.
So, yeah.
It does kind of sadden me to see Kane reduced to levels of J&J security, though. Like he's that level of effective at this point.
Well, that's what you get. So about that finish.
what a finish. That annoyed me. I'll tell you. It was like, are you kidding? No way. No freaking way. Did they really do that? Mace, wait for the swerve.
Yeah, everyone pretty much called. Yeah, that's not how this is going to end.
Just in case you missed it, everybody, the original ref got he took his standard ref bump, got knocked out. Dean Ambrose delivers dirty deeds. Another referee comes running out from the back, counts to 3. Dean Ambrose is your new WWE heavyweight champion. Wait a minute. The original ref comes too and has a confab with the runout ref. And Dean Ambrose is declared the winner of the match. However, because
it's by disqualification.
So your champion is still Seth Rollins.
And he looked like he just won the fucking World Series.
And I'm thinking
by himself.
The entire time they did this, and I'm like, fuck, I hate this type of ending for a main event. God damn it. Dean, please keep the belt. Just take off with the belt. Don't give the belt back. Go. Dean kept the belt. He said, I won this match. I'm keeping the belt.
The beers
are on the champ.
It's such a bullshit type of ending. I mean, in the first place, how many world title matches have you seen where the ref gets pushed or pulled into a spot like that and there's no DQ?
Oh, well, there's only a DQ when it serves their purposes.
When they want utter bullshit.
Yeah, and
that's
you
when
know,
it serves their purpose.
Sure, the finish was utter bullshit, but you know what's going to be a rematch at Money in the Bank. It's going to be these two again. Now, the question is, do you see them throwing in somebody else for a triple threat?
No.
They've overdone that for this point in time.
Reigns, the only option is Reigns, and he's winning Money in the Bank.
Yeah, and let's face it, he's going to win it. And everybody's going to be upset about it, but hey, gives him a whole year, upwards of a year, to you know, become ready, I guess, is a good way of putting it.
So I'm the only one who actually liked this finish.
I liked the finish.
I wasn't a fan of it.
I thought it was creative. I thought it's different. And we talked about this Thursday on the Rack. We want Dean Ambrose as the champion because he'll make for entertaining television. He's technically not the champion, but he's got the belt and he's going to brag like he's the champion. I'm okay with that because he's going to come out being entertaining with it on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted coming out of this show. And that's what we're going to get. It was clever. It got us for 2 weeks. I thought it worked.
It just feels like...
Is he going to be forced to give the belt back on Raw tomorrow night? The general consensus is likely.
I just hate...
The thing is, you've got tomorrow night, you'll have Triple H come out and try and be all authoritative, and, you know, Dean Ambrose, you must give the belt, but Dean's going to fucking dangle that thing like a schoolyard bully with some candy over a fat kid. You know this is going to be fucking entertaining as hell tomorrow night.
Yeah. And, you know, like, whether that was the whole point or not, I don't know. That's the end result. And let's face it, we're all going to tune in tomorrow night.
Of course. Need something to do to kill before we watch Austin and Heyman.
Yep. 3 hours of Austin and Heyman would be good. So.
Yeah, I enjoyed this finish. I don't see what was wrong with it. Sure, the method in which they did it was good. And it gave you that it's too good to be true feeling, which is why I called the swerve as soon as Ambrose got the pin.
Yeah, and I said, wait for it.
And then the end of it, you know, with Ambrose taking the belt and racking off, that gives us something different for tomorrow night instead of another let's suck up to Seth Rollins. You know, I think this is probably the best way to go. Plus, it's going to get us another Ambrose and Rollins match, guaranteed. Which is what we want at the moment.
I just hate this kind of ending. I hate how Rollins is getting booked. Like, it's one thing to have a heel champion that's always worming his way to keep his belt.
Yeah.
This is so fucking overkill. You have three guys standing outside the ring to help him win this match, and it still takes like. It still takes ref bump bullshit to actually get him to keep his title. He's coming across as the weakest world champion ever. And honestly, the matches he's had since, you know, starting at, you know, from WrestleMania onward, he deserves better than that. Like, he's actually been really solid in the ring. He can wrestle. He can win the belt, or at least defend the belt on his own. I know what they're going for, but it makes the belt look awful, and it makes him look even worse.
I can understand what you're saying, but that's the character that he's supposed to be portraying.
I know that's the character.
You're just tired of it. You're fed up with it.
Yeah. Well,
then he's doing his job.
Exactly.
I should want to see how the belt finally gets off of him. It's... To this point, it's so overdone. It's so overkill. I don't care. I don't care who takes the belt off of him or how. I don't care about that belt until he's not wearing it anymore.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
So, yes, overall, this pay-per-view, entertaining to a degree, clusterfuck in others. It's our good old WWE booking.
Yeah, basically, it felt like a 2 week prep job.
At the end of the day, we got NXT TakeOver. We had what was it, Payback last month or 2 weeks ago, and this show, $10. Yep. Those three events. I'm satisfied with the month.
When you put it in that perspective, everybody got their money's worth.
I mean, they gave you a lot of entertainment.
Yep.
For the month.
They earned my $10 when Finn Balor made his entrance.
So everything else is gravy on top of that. So there you go.
There you go. I guess we can leave it at that. And that's putting this pay-per-view to bed. Not one of the stronger efforts. We've seen a lot better. But then again, let's face it, we have seen worse. December to forget.
Comes to mind. God. Think about it. you put that chamber
and
up
that
against...
And that had an Elimination Chamber match in it.
Yeah. Yes, it did.
You put those two chamber matches up against one another. Which was worse?
Oh, God.
Oh, December to Dismember, for sure.
Yeah, that was a chamber match with two people.
Yeah. December to Disremember.
And one of them was Bobby Lashley.
That should tell you right then and there.
So go over the picks, Tim.
Okay, people are wondering, well, did I win on Pick'em? Well, you might have. Let me just go back to the email here. There it is, put together by our very own King Kittens, who absolutely has no life, so he works 12 hours a day, 8 days a week, does shit for us.
I think he's up to, what, 578 consecutive days or something to that effect?
What? Dude, take a week off. Seriously.
According to his status on the Skype, it's 587 counting.
There you go. All right. So in first place overall, first place, Lindsay and Brent both tied at 4-2. Mace and I wound up being on the same page with Rock, 8-Ball, Starscream, Josh, Michael, and Will Robles at 3-3. So at least we batted 500. Omega, shame on you. 2-4, tied with Subway, Rob, Ollie, Jersey Girl at 2-4. And then in 15th place, Tommy C. and Nick Diddy, both with 2-3. They missed one pick, but not 100% their fault because the match that was named late. Chris Pierce was 1-5. And Bowman, I'm disappointed in you, CJ. I'll tell you, man, 1-4. And that's the Pick'em results.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. So I'm thinking it's pretty much time for quick hits and get out of here. Or shall we just, like, say goodnight, everybody, and do our closing?
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
There we go.
Yeah, play the right file.
I know, right? Wrong order. Why do you bake cookies and cook bacon?
Why do you bake cookies and cook bacon? The same reason you drive on a parkway and park on a driveway.
And why is that?
Because cookies, bacon. Why don't you bake bacon?
Why don't you?
I've baked bacon.
Is that one of your recipes?
Nope. It's just a way of cooking bacon.
Okay, Omega, why does Bugs Bunny walk around the cartoon naked, but he puts a bathing suit on when he goes swimming?
You were about to answer, then you realized what the question was.
Just some things I just don't want to think about.
Too late. It's like Donald Duck being banned in Finland.
Because no one wants their crotch wet no matter what. Fur or not.
Okay. Tim, if a slice of bread is square, then why is sandwich meat round?
Because people don't pay attention to the fact that they can actually buy square sandwich meat slices.
Okay. Omega. If electricity comes from electrons, does morality come from morons?
What Depends do you have talking. Planned for Mace? Does morality come from morons?
Yeah.
You know, in a way, I'm going to say yes, because it's the morons that show you why being moral is good in the first place.
It's the morons that say, hey, that's not moral. I see where you're going with that.
No, it's the morons doing stupid shit, making you go, I'm glad I don't do that.
There you go.
And that's our show.
That's it. We're done, everybody. Hey, thanks for tuning in to Elimination Chamber pay-per-view review show. Next week, back to our regular scheduled time of 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain Time, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network tomorrow night. Don't forget, immediately following Raw, it's the post show.
It's the Raw post show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that happens on WWE Monday Night Raw.
Thursday night, Lindsay Ward graces us with her presence on the multi-time award-winning The Rag.
It's The Rag Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk NXT SmackDown, this Elimination Chamber event, and so much more. It's The Rag Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Wild Talk Radio. You can go to Twitter.com/WTRTheRack, Facebook.com/WTRTheRack, RackRadioShow.com. You can check out YouTube.com/WTRTheRack. You can check out Lindsay on Twitter at Linsward, LINSWARD. Check out Behance.net/Linsward as well. Is that slow enough for you, Tim?
Close enough.
Next, keep going.
Hey, don't you do some stuff on Saturday night, better known as the Wild, the Wacky, the Weird, the Unusual, the whatever it is. It's called CB Radio, Midnight Eastern, as close as they can get it.
It's CB Radio, the Weird, the Wacky, the Unusual, all the weird news you can possibly handle. Celebrity deaths with the hashtag Blame Rob, and so much more. Somebody's video game reviews, and movie reviews, and whatever else he can possibly think of. It's CB Radio. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR, Facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. Check out the website, CBRadioLive.com.
There you go. Well, I already mentioned that we're back to regular time next week. Follow me on the Twitter machines, at Flames Forums. Follow me at Trivial Tim. Follow Stampede Wrestling at Stampede Wrestle. Check out Stampede Wrestling's Facebook page, facebook.com/originalstampedewrestling. The Wild Talk Radio Network is on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Also, check out our Facebook pages, facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
And you forgot to mention when Wrestle Talk Radio returns to the airwaves next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, at WTR Sunday and Facebook.com/Wrestle Talk Radio.
I didn't forget. I plugged that twice.
No, you didn't plug the Twitter and Facebook. But no, what I'm saying is next week will be the Money in the Bank preview.
Yeah. We're going to play another pick 'em, believe it or not, kids.
Preview event. Preview event. Lather, rinse, repeat. Lather, rinse, repeat.
Weep, whoop, alert, alert. All right, Omega, you're on Twitter and the Facebooking, and you got your own thing going on.
Yeah, I generally do. I keep myself quite busy over on Twitter.
Never sleep.
The sleeping just gets in the way, Tim.
I know. Don't you wish that you could do what Sheldon wants to do and have a robot body?
Only if I get to turn into a jet.
Fair enough.
So my stuff can be found over on Facebook. It is TJ Reviews, but everywhere else it is TJ Omega. That is TJ Omega over on Twitter. It's TJOmega.org for a lot of my videos on archive, and of course over on YouTube, TJ Omega, where most of my content is, including a brand new video game series I just kicked off tonight.
Oh boy! Oh boy! Oh boy!
I really want to open myself up to that.
Isn't that one what the playthrough or something like that?
Hmm?
Is it the playthrough or something to that effect?
It's almost a playthrough. I cut out the boring bits.
So an exciting playthrough.
There you go.
Sure, let's go through that. Exciting playthrough of a 25-year-old game.
All right.
Alrighty then. Hey, I think we're done. It's time to get out of here.
Remember, get us on TuneIn, Stitcher, and iTunes. Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a good week, everybody. Bye.
www.RadarSuperstar.com.